Hey y'all.
I'm Soph.
And I'm Nat.
And we're the Travel Brats.
Welcome to our podcast.
We've been putting the brat in travel
since 2020.
And we're just getting started.
From hidden gems to world-class travel,
we've been sharing hot and not destinations from a bird's eye view and a party of two.
So what's on the itinerary today?
Jamie Beebe is the founder of the true crime podcast Strictly Stalking and has launched a brand new podcast called The Last Trip, a blended travel and true crime podcast diving into the chilling investigations of missing and murdered individuals who were living their best lives while on vacation. Jamie's background as creator and co-host of the true crime podcast Strictly Stalking was derived from her solo travels across the globe and has given her a unique travel perspective. I'm able to give listeners a reason to travel as well as a reason to stay safe, she says. Hey, Travel Brats, it's Soph and Nat.
Happy Travel Brat Tuesday. Today we have a very special guest with us, Miss Jamie Beebe from the incredibly beautiful state of California. Hey, Jamie, how's it going?
Good, thanks so much.
Yeah, we're super excited to have you on. And we've done an intro for you. But first, I want to talk about you and just let us know a little bit about like where you grew up, where you're living now, which I already hinted at, and just all about Strictly Stalking, The Last Trip, and all your podcasting endeavors.
Oh, that's a lot. Okay. I'm a Midwestern girl. I grew up in the Midwest, Iowa, Wisconsin. I grew up mostly in Iowa. My parents live in Wisconsin now. And it's way too cold there for me. I left as soon as I graduated high school, traveled a bunch throughout the United States, was following bands. And, you know, it's the 90s where, like, I think a lot of people followed. I hope a lot of people followed bands. I don't know, but I did. And then I, you know, went to college, did all that, and then ended up in California with, you know, basically no idea what I wanted to do with my life. I moved to California with a guy, and he was going to be a rock star. So I was going to manage his band. He's a chiropractor now, so it didn't work out. and so I just ended up, like, kind of going from, like, one career to the next, and then I landed in production. I met a guy and he was like, hey, you can run my production company. And I was like, perfect, except I've never even been on a set. I don't know anything about it. So I learned, like, really fast because Google has everything you could ever want to know on it.
Magic.
Yeah. And then from there, I started doing casting because being a casting director is great. Everybody loves the casting director. Like, you don't really have bad news. It's always like, if you're calling, it's usually good stuff. So people answer and they're like, hi, you know, everyone's nice. So I did that for many years. I still do that. But then, you know, COVID and the actor strikes and the writer strikes and all that for like the last 5 years, it's just been harder, you know? So that's kind of when I got into podcasting. And I started with Strictly Stalking, and I launched it January of 2020, so like a month before lockdown, and it took off because, you know, the timing was great, and it's about stalking, and there's really no other podcasts that are about just stalking. A lot of true crime hits on it because a lot of people that are murdered are stalked first, so we want to kind of do it before that happened, you know, talk about it, like, because obviously not everyone that gets stalked gets murdered, although it does happen a lot, unfortunately. So yeah, we interview, I have a co-host, Jake Taptula, and we interview victims of stalkers. And it's crazy. Like, everything I've learned on there is just like, sometimes I wonder how I can possibly still leave my house. You know, you kind of wonder about other people quite a bit. But yeah, that was my first podcast. And then I just, in November, released my second one called The Last Trip. And that's kind of like my little baby because I started traveling right after I launched the first podcast. I ended a horrible relationship. And so after that, I was like, I'm so free. And then I started traveling around the world solo. And I would, you know, research where I was going to go because, you know, what are you going to do and all that. And I would be like, and who has died here? And who is missing from here? And then I realized, like, how many people get murdered and go missing on vacation. And it's astronomical. And it was just so interesting. And then I was like, well, I can't be the only one that finds this interesting. And that's kind of how how the last trip started.
Yeah. Well, and how did Strictly Stalking start? Did you just, you were always kind of interested in the stalker stories, or did you have a personal experience where you met a crazy on vacation or?
No. So I wanted just to do like a murder podcast. Cause I mean, you know, everyone's like, oh, murder. And I called my co-host, or he's my co-host now, but I called my friend Jake because, you know, he's super into true crime. And I was like, oh, I want to do a podcast, but like everyone's doing, like every murder has been talked about online. Like there's not a murder out there that somebody hasn't covered, you know?
Yeah.
So I was just feeling all, you know, like, oh, I'll never be a podcaster. And he's extremely logical, where I'm like a little more, you know, dramatic, we'll say. And yeah, he's very logical. So he's like, well, you know, no one's doing any podcasts about stalking. And I was like, I don't know anything about stalking. That's dumb. I hang up on him. But then like what always happens, you know, is like, I was like, oh, well, that is kind of, how is there a whole crime I really don't know about? So I started researching it, you know, and looking it up, and I was like, oh, wow, like this is a serious thing. Like this is happening. And then we just kind of, it just took off from there. And I didn't know anything about stalking, to be honest. I mean, other than like, oh, the Kardashians have a stalker this week, you know, and I didn't think that much of it. Like I just didn't understand it. So I think that actually helped though, when we did the podcast, because neither of us really knew that much about it. And we kind of learned along with our listeners, all these years.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, did you find when you started Strictly Stalking that it kind of made you more aware, I'm sure, but did it make you a little more just like nervous about, you know, like more anxious at all in any circumstance?
Yeah, I mean, especially being single, because a lot of people get stalked, you know, intimate partner stalking, or you go on one date with a dude and you can't say no. And yeah, I mean, it definitely makes me more aware of things. I'm the type of person, I don't always think ahead on stuff. So I'll be like, I'm going here at 7 o'clock tonight. And I'll post it, you know, for all these people I don't know that follow me on social media. Like, hey, if anyone wants to say hi, like, you know, I don't think ahead. Like, hey, maybe that's not the smartest idea. You know, I'm sure we all have like creepers on our Instagram, you know, well, those people see that and they'll go and then they know where you are. So it's not always the smartest thing. You know, I really just learned how to take, I guess, better care of myself as an adult, as a woman, as an adult woman.
Yeah. And what's funny, what's so funny to me is our timelines are so similar with the podcasting world, where like you started this in, you said, was it February of 2020?
January.
January. Okay. Well, we started Travel Brats in February of 2020. And that's just so funny. And also, I mean, I don't know. Natalie was literally what you described. Like she's a traveling singer and actress. And so theaters being closed down, I remember Nat, that was so stressful for you. So, I mean, it's just so funny how you can relate so well. But in the regard of travel, because all the stalking has not scared you out of travel and all these last trip stories have not scared you out of travel. You do a lot of travel. Yeah. A lot of solo travel. And we wanted to kind of ask about your favorite spots that you've been to.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, so many.
And Demi, I know it's hard to narrow it down. If you could give us maybe five of your top places that you've been to.
Okay. Let's see. Guatemala. I love Guatemala. And I was so surprised that I loved it because I mean, the ticket was on sale and I was like, oh, I guess I haven't been there. I'll just go type of thing. I'll literally go anywhere. Like, let's be honest, you know, if I'm, oh, it's a $200 ticket to some country I haven't been to. Of course, I'm going to check it out. Yeah. So I went there with like no intentions of falling in love with it. That's probably my top place. Solo travel, female travel, travel in general. I loved it.
That's pretty wild.
Amazing.
Yeah. Because I've been once to Guatemala, but it was only for a tennis tournament. And like we stayed in a hotel and I don't know, it was just different. The guys walking down the street with machine guns. But then my husband did a mission trip there to like the mountains to like work with local people. And he said it was really cool. Yeah. So I guess, you know, I was like, I need to go back there for like an actual vacation and experience it.
Yeah. I mean, when I was there, I mean, I went by myself and, you know, that's always a little bit scary, like traveling as a girl by yourself. I don't speak Spanish. not the smartest. But, you know, I stayed, the hostels are phenomenal. They're like, the hostels are like five-star hotels that you find for like $1,000 a night here. I mean,
wow.
Utterly beautiful pools, like everything you could imagine. And then it's the people, not just the people that live there, but also the people that are traveling there. I met so many solo women, and I just made friends instantly with like all these amazing women from all over the world. Not very many Americans, which I kind of prefer sometimes, but a lot of like European women. And we ended up hiking for like 13 hours uphill up this active volcano. And spending the night on top of the volcano, which it was like 0 degrees out, -10. So like at the bottom, it's like Guatemala, it's warm. And then you hike literally 13 hours uphill. And I went with this group of women that I didn't know. We were almost all solo travelers, you know. And by the end, we were all best friends. Like everybody cried at least once. It was really, really hard. I've never done anything so hard physically like that in my life. But it was interesting because it ended up being so hard like mentally. I mean, we talked about men, finances, traveling, like anything you could possibly imagine. You know, you get 10 girls together and you got to talk in those 13 hours. And then, you know, all night long, we sat up, this is too cold to sleep, but we sat there and we just watched the volcano explode. I mean, all night, it just exploded right in front of us right there. And I've never been that close to it. I mean, you could feel it like on the ground and you could hear it, and it was so loud, but it was like loud inside your body, not in your ears. Like it was the most intense experience I've probably ever had. Like it was life changing for sure. So wow. Guatemala is probably my number one.
Wow. That's amazing. And how did you get together with that group of girls? Did you already know them or?
No, it was just, I signed up on a whim to be like, I'll climb a volcano, not realizing the intensity of it. I'm so glad I did. But I didn't realize, they're like, we'll give you jackets and stuff. Like, you know, it's like $50. You get to stay overnight on a volcano. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. No, it was like so cold. We had to have more than jackets, and like it was the craziest experience ever. And it was all a bunch of just other women that happened to be around and just took the same like group tour. And we all happened to, I mean, there's a lot of single solo women in Guatemala traveling, or at least there was when I was there. I think it's kind of more common there. It's very safe. It's a very safe. You feel safe. I felt safe at night. I felt safe during the day. I felt safe walking around. They do have packs of wild dogs in some places, but that's the only, like, that was the only scary thing I found in Guatemala.
Oh man.
Like you carry rocks in your pockets and stuff just in case.
Wow.
They're a little scary with the packs of wild dogs, but other than that, I felt super safe in Guatemala.
It's pretty crazy. That sounds really fun. I feel like is it not a historical moment? I mean, does that volcano erupt a lot or
all the time?
Oh,
yeah, all the time. And we climbed. So there's like two volcanoes right next to each other. So we are staying on the one that wasn't technically erupting. But I think that it could have like come over to us. But then after we got there right before it got dark. We left early in the morning, got there. And then during the darkness, while it was like sleeting, it was so cold. I don't think I've ever been so cold. There was another 4-hour hike to get onto the actual volcano that was erupting with the lava. And they're like, yeah, if we just go like sit right here, like the lava probably won't hit us. And I was like, okay, I'm down. Of course, because what are the chances?
Yeah. I'd rather not have lava hit me.
I know. Well, I asked, I was like, well, are you sure that the lava can't get us? And they're like, well, you know, you have to sign here because okay. But I did it anyway, and it was pretty cool. We couldn't really see much because there was like a storm coming in. So it was a crazy night, but definitely worth it. So Guatemala is my favorite for like life-changing times.
Yeah.
And I really like Nicaragua. There's a little island in Lake Nicaragua, Ometepe Island. And it's just like this cute little island. And I just had a great time on it. I stayed at a chocolate factory, a vegan chocolate factory, a vegan sober chocolate factory.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's really cool. And that was really fun, like traveling around in there. Cambodia. I love Cambodia. It's beautiful. The people are amazing in Cambodia. I love Hawaii. I'm a Maui girl for sure. Maui is wonderful.
When you were talking about Hawaii,
anywhere in Asia.
Yeah.
I don't think either one of us have been to many places in Asia. Where would be your favorite spot in Asia?
I mean, Bali is great. I do love Bali. I went to Koh Tao and Koh Samui, which is they're little tiny islands. I think it was Koh Tao. They have like a serial killer there, so that was pretty interesting. They have somebody that's just like been murdering a lot of tourists, which is cool.
Recently?
Throughout the years, yeah, it's been happening a lot. There's actually, I forget what the they did a whole podcast about all the murders in this tiny little island, because it's such a small island, and they're just like, you know, murdering a couple that's walking down the beach. So, you know, I went there with my ex, and like every night I was like, do you want to walk down the beach? I know it's bad, but you know, there's reasons he's my ex though.
Now, have you been to the Philippines? Because I was born in the Philippines and grew up there. And of course I'm biased because I love it there, but I truly, aside from the Philippines, yeah, I haven't been anywhere else in Asia or Southeast Asia, aside from like the airport in Japan.
I have. I went there. I wasn't there for very long. I want to say 2 or 3 days. Okay. So I didn't get to go to like any of the little islands or beaches. So I would definitely want to go back. I'm a beach girl anyway. Like I need a beach.
It's 100% for you.
Yeah.
Has anyone been murdered?
Boracay, that's where we always vacation.
Oh yeah, I want to go there. There's definitely been some murders there. There's been murders everywhere. You can literally just type in a place, like type in a country, and like tourists killed in or tourists missing in, and then you'll find it.
That's like when my husband and I were going to Mexico, his parents kept sending us links to all these people that got murdered in Mexico. And I was like, can you stop? Like, but then I'll go listen to your podcast.
Mexico is so safe, though. I mean, I know people don't think it is, but like overall, it's so safe. I feel safer in Mexico than California by 100%. I would not walk around at night in California, but I wouldn't. I have in Mexico.
Wow.
That's actually really good.
Not all of California, but like LA. Like Hollywood.
Yeah,
Hollywood, you know.
Yeah.
And I feel like you really know. I mean, obviously you're learning a lot through your own podcast. You're educating people in, I think both of your podcasts, you're really educating people, not only telling fascinating stories, crazy stories, but you know, being able to say what you just said, I wouldn't know that. Like, I would have no idea that there are places in Mexico that are far safer than the country I live in. Like, it's easy to think that, oh, we're America, it's super safe, or oh, Europe, or this or that. But it's like, don't judge things either way, right? Like, be educated and learn about where you're going. But, you know, for you, so if whenever people are like messaging you, people that are murdered, it's like, okay, but people get murdered everywhere, so just be a wise human being.
Well, yeah, and crime is so different in each country too. Like in the United States, we have a lot of random violence, and it doesn't matter who you are. You can get caught in random violence. You can be in a shooting at the mall. I mean, we have mass shootings every day here, and so the chances, you know, of that are higher than other places where they don't have guns. You know, there's a lot of places where there are no guns in that country, or there's very, very few. And then in a lot of countries too, if you are a tourist, you're going to be treated differently, whether that's you're going to be pickpocketed, fine, or because they don't want the extra attention. They don't want the extra attention on their country for like, you know, we killed an American girl. No country wants that. That does not look good. And people know that. Criminals know that. Yeah, they're trying to pickpocket you, fine. You know what? They're poor. They're going to steal your money. It's not the end of the world. But more often than not, there's not that much violence. It's not actually, you know, unless you're really in the wrong spot at the wrong time.
Well, that's like your China episode about that Mormon guy that got kidnapped. And oh my gosh, I was Natalie. this episode, okay, travel brats, listen to me. This episode of Jamie Beebe's, you've got to go. You got to start with this one because, okay, this guy is in China and he's backpacking on his like mission trip and he disappears and the Chinese government, again, because they don't want to be known that, you know, people get kidnapped and by Korea, North Korea and stuff. They're like, oh, he fell and died in the river. And he literally got kidnapped by the North Koreans and he's like teaching Kim Jong-un's, however you pronounce his name, children English in North Korea. Like,
and
oh my
he's
gosh.
He's still there.
He's stuck there.
So crazy.
He hasn't been traded. Like, we've traded.
The U.S. won't acknowledge that he's there because China still says that he drowned. But they never found his body, obviously. And, I mean, there's been so much, so many details about him being in North Korea. There's not that many, you know, white dudes in North Korea that were kidnapped from China that were 24 years old, that spoke both Korean and Mandarin. Like, you know, come on. And he, yeah, Mormon, like, you know, and they've given him a new name. They know where he lives in North Korea. They know who his wife is. He has two kids. Like, come on.
That's,
you know,
crazy.
But yeah, I mean, I hope that the family at some point can get the government to take a look and be like, oh, yeah, actually, that did happen. Sorry, you know. Yeah.
But how insightful. Like, who would have ever thought that, oh, people are being kidnapped by North Korea? Like, I didn't even know that until you told me you didn't even know that on your podcast.
I had no idea. Like, I felt like I'm pretty in the crime scene, you know?
Yeah.
But no, I mean, North Korea has been kidnapping people all over the world for 50, 60 years minimum, you know, and that's just what they admitted to. Like, they admitted to it fully in 2002, not fully. They're like, oh, yeah, we kidnapped like a few people. Sorry, here's five of them back, you know. But really, and then when the people came back, they're like, no, actually, this is what's happening. You know, there's no reason to lie. And they knew names. They knew, how is somebody that was kidnapped from Japan and then released going to know the name of somebody that was kidnapped from Thailand or from Rome, you know? Right. So it's pretty obvious to me that, you know, they're telling the truth. It's crazy. I had no idea the numbers of people that have been kidnapped and live in Korea. And I get it, it's like politics, but it's crazy.
Yeah, but wow, it's just, so anyway, back to Natalie's point, it's so insightful. I want to turn real quick and mention, when you talked about Hawaii, what are your favorite islands in Hawaii? Because I love Hawaii. It's awesome.
Maui. I love Maui. I've spent a lot of time in Maui. And I think the reason, one of my best friends lives in Maui, so I always have a place to go. I would just head over to the airport. I'd call my girlfriend. I'm like, I'll be there in 5 hours, you know, and I'd stay in Maui for a month. And so Maui, yeah, you know, but I always feel like Maui has just been really healing. Like, it's such a healing place for me. You know, just on the beach, my best friend, you know, living in a bikini all day with her. And I love Maui. It's beautiful. There's so much to do.
Well, speaking of the volcano, one of the big island volcanoes was erupting when I was there. So you're with Guatemala, you reminded me of that. But that was like, I mean, it was really cool, but it was tragic. I mean, there were a bunch of houses that were covered and people definitely evacuated. They had emergency evacuation, but it was so cool to see. We took a helicopter ride and got to ride like above it. But I mean, to be on the ground when it's happening like you were, I think that would be incredible. You like you're right. You feel it because of the vibration. I keep thinking of it.
I never would have known that feeling existed until I went there, I guess. Like, that's the best way I can put it, you know? Like, I felt changed by the time I came off of that hike. And the hike itself, you know, you're doing this hike with strangers. Eventually, like, we all cried. It was hard and it was cold and it kind of sucked. Like, but then once you did it, it was like, wow, I did it. Like, that's insane.
Right. No, that's amazing. It's like, I keep picturing Lord of the Rings, Mount Doom. You're in my mental picture right now. You're like walking up this giant volcano. Like, are we going to get lava on this?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I will say the only, like, the smartest thing I did, and I totally went again. Like, usually I'm kind of like, I'll go with the flow type of thing, but you can hire somebody to carry your backpack up the trail, up the mountain. So, and it's like $5 or something, because it's very cheap there, you know?
That's,
and yeah. Normally I don't want to do stuff like that because like, oh, I can do it. I don't want to take advantage of whatever. First of all, these guys that were going, and I was struggling the entire way up. They're in like flip-flops and like they're carrying my backpack. They're waiting at like, yeah, they were just like, do, do, do. I mean, they do it all day. That's what they just go up and down carrying people's stuff.
Wow.
But I hired a guy, and then the other girls were kind of like, yeah, I'm going to do that too. And then there were two guys on our whole trip, like on our whole hike. And they were like, no, carry my backpack. They fully regretted it. It's a long hike. And you have to carry all your stuff for overnight that they give you too. And the food, everything pack in, pack out. It was a lot. So if anyone ever does that, have someone carry your backpack.
No shame.
And I tipped him. I tipped him a lot because I felt really bad, even though like he didn't even break a sweat. And he kept holding the water bottle out. He's like, here, man.
So
like, yeah, I need the water bottle.
Hashtag locals.
Yeah.
Just marching up. Now wait, that must have been high elevation. And was it winter or was it winter?
No, it was October. I think it was October. But it was so cold because the elevation was so high. Yeah. So it was like, you know, shorts and tank top at the bottom, and then it was negative 10 at the top. It was crazy.
Right. Yeah. That's, oh man. Anyway. Well, okay. I want to transition a little bit. I want to talk about hots and nots, because on Travel Brats, we have a big hots and nots category where we are like very honest about stuff. Okay. I went here or I had this food or whatever, and it was not great or it was hot. And I want to twist that a little bit. I know that since you're a huge solo traveler, you probably have some hots, nots, places, experiences. What come to mind on top?
Okay, so definitely for hot, Guatemala. Just as a female solo traveler, 100%. It was the safest I've probably ever felt traveling. And I don't even speak Spanish, although I feel like they speak like with less of an accent or slower there. So I can kind of understand it, but that's probably the easiest time I had understanding Spanish as well. So Guatemala, hands down, anyone and everyone should go there. It's so safe. I mean, anything bad can happen anywhere, so it's not like 100% safe, but I felt very safe there. Then not Colombia. Colombia, I did not feel safe there, unfortunately. I would definitely go back, but not alone. It's a scarier place by far. They have a lot more crime there. Yeah. And they don't care as much, like, if they kill a tourist.
Right.
Wow. Yeah. So is it there? And there's been a lot of Americans and, you know, other countries, as you know, a lot of foreigners, a lot of tourists have been getting murdered in Colombia right now.
Mm. Wow. Yeah, that's good.
More
to
than
know.
A few just this month so far.
Thanks.
Wow. Did you ever have a desire to learn Spanish since you're such a like South American traveling girl?
I've tried so many times, and I can understand it, and I can kind of speak it very, very slowly, but people just, like, they laugh at me. I have such a hard time with another language. Like, I try so hard, and I can understand it enough to, like, to know if I'm in a bad situation or not.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I can tell when people are talking about me, like, what, like, I can pick up on certain words, because, you know, like, especially when you're traveling, like men, you know, you'll hear things and you're like, okay, well, I need to make sure, like, I need to remove myself from the situation. Because they'll think, especially, they'll know, like, oh, she doesn't speak Spanish, it's fine. They'll start talking about you. And then, you know, it's human nature. And then you can hear, like, oh, this is what they plan on doing. I'm going to go.
Oh, BRB. Never. Not, just kidding.
Yeah. Well, no, Colombia is definitely, it's definitely scary. And they have some scary drugs there that, like, until I went there, I thought that some of the drugs were, I thought it was all like legends, like myths, you know, like the devil's breath that can absorb through your skin, or you can, you know, just sprinkle it on your food and like you die, you know, and that's very real. I mean, wow. I don't want to like fear monger because it's not like it's happening every day everywhere, but like, you know, if you're at a bar and, you know, if you're a guy at a bar and you're like 50 years old and an 18-year-old girl comes up and she's gorgeous, she actually doesn't want to sleep with you. She wants to rob you. Like, I don't know how men don't understand that, but they don't. And that's how they're dying.
Wow. Right. That's so insightful. I'm going to tell all the 50-year-old men I know that, hey, listen to me. When you travel, those girls, they're trying to rob you.
I mean it, but it's kind of true. You know, you're not like, you're not you haven't just turned amazing because you left the country and these gorgeous 18-year-olds want to sleep with you, you yeah. know, like just to be okay.
Because you brought that up, you yeah. I don't know if either one of you guys have seen the Netflix series, Jamie, you would love it. It's called The Serpent.
Oh, yeah.
Have you
I
seen
have.
That?
It came out a little while ago, didn't it?
Oh, it was a while ago, but I like binge watched it. I thought it was so crazy. It was about that guy that steals diamonds, or not steals diamonds, sells gems, and he kidnapped all these tourists in Thailand. And yeah. he had this like accomplice, that Canadian girl. But anyway, guys, Travel Brats, if that's, or Natalie, anybody, if that is something you haven't heard of, you should go check it out.
I love it.
But yeah. Have you, okay, I have to ask this question because I just am always thinking about food. Is there like a place that you really enjoy the food the most?
Oh, Bali. Definitely. Really? Bali and Thailand. Well, I'm vegan. And so it is a little bit harder, although I have and will eat meat in other countries because it's a different, you know, it's not as processed and the animals are treated differently. So I don't have as much problem with it in other countries, but everything is just so fresh. And I mean, they'll just, it's all these fruits and vegetables and they just put them together and it tastes amazing and awesome. And yeah, the food over there is my favorite by far. So good.
Yum. Yum, that sounds great. I love Thai food, so I believe that. Yeah.
And it's different. The Thai food in Thailand is not the Thai food that we have here. But it's way better. It's way better.
Oh, cool. Well, Jamie, thank you so much for coming on with us. We can't wait we can't wait to start part two with you. And Travel Brats, leave us a review, subscribe to the podcast, and go follow Jamie and check out Strictly Stalking and The Last Trip, especially that one episode. Thanks, Jamie.
Thank you.
Catch you next time.
Hey, y'all. It's your travel brat, Nat. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Did you know that we create blogs to go along with all of our episodes? You can check them out at thetravelbrats.com.
Looking for the cutest new travel pieces for your adventure wardrobe? Then shop Best Dressed. From gorgeous sundresses to adorable bikinis and cozy sweaters, Best Dressed has the perfect travel pieces for any vacation destination. Check them out at shopbestdressed.com and use code TRAVELBRAT20 for 20% off the entire store.